All right, here we go. It's Monday. Welcome to another episode of Boiled Down Brevard. I'm Jessica Saggio, columnist here at Florida Today, and I'm here in the studio with Rob Landers.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
He's the best. Oh, by the way, I just want to give Rob a little shout out here. You guys might not know this, but he edits like everything at Florida Today, basically. I mean, he does our Murder on the Space Coast podcast, our Florida Today show, the Matt Reed show. He's like the guy behind the scenes doing everything. So I just want to start this off with giving him a little shout out because he's really been working hard lately. So yay, Rob. Yay,
thank you,
Rob.
Jessica. I'm very glad that this isn't a video podcast because everyone would see me blushing right now.
Aww. And he always wears plaid on the days we record.
Huh.
Last week it was like a red plaid. I feel like I need to comment on your shirt every time. I feel like people need a visual of what you're wearing.
Yeah, this isn't my favorite. I completely forgot we were recording today because, you know, it's Monday.
It's Monday. Yeah, sorry,
yeah.
Guys.
So, don't confuse your calendars at all. It is Monday, not Thursday. And Jessica and I were just talking and thinking, maybe it would be good if we did this on Monday.
I like Monday.
Here's the nice thing. If you're listening to us on your ride home today, congratulations. You survived Monday.
Yeah.
So before we get really started with today's news, I'd like to remind everyone to please click subscribe in the iTunes or Google Play stores or follow on the Stitcher Radio or Podomatic app so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what Jessica and I are doing, please go into the iTunes store and give us that 5-star rating. It helps really interesting and clever and intelligent people like yourselves find us easier in iTunes. You can follow Jessica on Twitter at Jessica J. Saggio. That's at JessicaJSaggio. And you can follow me on Twitter at by Rob Landers. That's at BYROBLANDERS. So, Jessica, the closing ceremonies of the Olympics were last night, but I understand that there's a closing of another kind happening today.
Yeah, so this just came in today, and I told Rob, I was like, we got to talk about this, because it's starting to come to a head, if you will, with Ryan Lochte right now. Speedo just announced this.
Go Gators.
Typical. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Gators. So Speedo just announced today that they are dropping their sponsorship for Ryan Lochte following his huge scandal in Rio where he said he was robbed at gunpoint. They pointed the gun right at his forehead and demanded money, but they didn't take his medal. But they took all of his money and he was fine and everything was cool. And then they Rio police investigated and found out that the whole story, they say, is fabricated. And now Speedo is pulled out.
I'm a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, sorry, guys. We're like, so.
All I have to say is thank God Speedo dropped Lochte instead of Lochte dropping his Speedo.
So, I'm not going to lie. Rob said that earlier today, and I died when he said that. That's maybe the funniest thing. I'm stealing it. I'm going to say it like 10 times
That's
today.
Fine.
I want you to know that.
That's fine. Cha.
Yeah, so $50,000 worth of Lochte's sponsorship money will go to Save the Children, the charity. So I guess they're just taking money from this athlete who's kind of been a little bit screwy with all of us and giving it to the kids.
Well,
so
I think if I remember this correctly, basically what happened is Ryan Lochte calls his mom and tells his mom this story, and his mom is the one who leaked it to the press. Like, oh my God, my son was robbed at knife point.
Yeah.
No, he really wasn't. That's just the story that he told his mom to cover the night out, you know, peeing on buildings and whatnot. So,
I wonder what, here's the thing, is like, that's a really elaborate story to just completely fabricate, you know, and we know that they were drinking. And if he did tell his mom...
Go Gators.
Yeah, go Gators. Well, I mean, if you're in Gainesville for any point of time, you probably drink. He probably did tell his mom
a
little bit different.
That could be said for most of Florida.
Yeah. Accurate, unless you're pregnant like me and you just suffer. He probably told his mom a little bit of a nice story to get himself off the hook there. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were telling your mom a story about a drunken night, I don't know if I'd go as far as what he did.
Well,
like, I wouldn't tell her I was the jerk.
But see, like, okay, so if he was, okay, so whatever the story is, whether he was robbed or he was extorted the money to pay for damages for vandalism or whatever, if he was out of money, if you're in a foreign country and you're out of money, who's the first person you're going to call?
Your mom.
Mom.
Yeah.
I need some money. Why? What happened? I was robbed. What? And then your mom goes nuts and you know.
Calls the news
and calls your coaches and. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he sure.
And then it explodes on Twitter and, you know.
And then that's that. And then Speedo pulls out.
And then Speedo pulls out.
I can't. All right.
Yeah.
We should just move on. We got to move on from
my life. Why is it? I don't get it. So, like, I am struggling to make sure I don't have gray hair. Why would you go with gray hair?
I thought he had a chlorine mishap.
Is that what it was?
I thought he bleached his hair and then the chlorine got to it. Because he tweeted something about his hair going back to normal or something.
Do you believe that?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously, what can we believe from Ryan Lochte now?
That's true. Maybe he's just naturally gray and is just lying about this. But you know, the gray hair trend is very in right now. I don't understand it. Even the ombre gray. Have you seen that? That's like the newest thing. Like, if I were to dye my hair ombre gray at, like, you know, in my 20s, that's very hip right now.
You can't dye your hair because you're pregnant.
Well, yeah, that's a myth.
Really?
That's a myth. Oh. Yeah, that's very 90s.
Myth.
Clearly, you had a child in the 90s.
I did.
Yeah, it was a big thing.
The end of, but yes.
Well, I'm going to, prepare yourself because I'm definitely dyeing my hair and getting that oleous stuff, just in case.
Okay.
It's the non-chemical thing. Anyway, so moving on. So maybe my favorite headline I've ever written. You ready to talk about this?
Go ahead.
Because it's the best headline I've ever written in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Drum roll, please.
Target's Game of Thrones. Do you all get it? Do you get it? Because they're talking about bathrooms. We're talking about thrones, like the throne. Target's Game of Thrones. Come on, that's the best headline I've ever written in my life.
Wah,
wah, wah, wah. Oh, you guys know that was good. You know that was good. I even sent it to my editor and was like, this is the best headline I've ever written. She agreed with me, Rob.
What's the story?
All right, the story is, you know, all the drama with the transgender issue with the bathrooms and where they're going to the bathrooms and if they're, you know, creeping on people in the bathrooms.
And Target has basically come forward and said, you can pee wherever you want to.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, they've gotten a lot of backlash for that. People have been boycotting them. Mm-hmm. It's been a big thing. So Target came out and was like, all right, everybody, we're going to add single stall bathrooms in every single Target. Mind you, there are single stall bathrooms in most Targets already. 1,400 out of their like 1,800 stores already have a single stall bathroom. But they are investing a crap ton of money, $50,000 per bathroom, to make sure that there is a single stall so that if you're transgender or you want to avoid transgenders, you can just go in this bathroom. They're usually marked as like a family restroom. I mean, me and my little girl use them all the time because we need space. we need space for operations.
Cece
needs her space, and really it's just a game of getting her not to touch anything while we're in that space, which is usually fails. But anyway, so they're investing $20 million into this. Now, I was looking around, like most of our Brevard Targets, I think, already have it. I know the one up in Titusville does, the one in Merritt Island does. I'm not familiar with the southern end of the county, I'm sure. Vera is fairly new, so I'm sure they have it too. So
same with Hammock Landings.
Yeah, so I'm figuring that we're not going to see a big difference with this locally, but it's a hot button issue, and you know, it's like I said, $50,000 seems like a lot of money per bathroom, doesn't it?
I think it's, you know what, I think Target is just putting their money where their mouth is, and yeah. and good on them. You know, they don't want to lose customers because other customers feel unsafe, so they're making sure that everyone feels safe using the facilities in their facility. So
yeah, I'm just hoping that, you know, if they're spending all this money, like maybe there'll be really elaborate bathrooms with like those potty putters. You know what I'm talking about? Like it's got like a green, like a small green. It goes around the toilet like a rug would go around the toilet, but it's got like a hole and you like putt while you're sitting on it. Have you never seen that? Look, here's a picture of it. You never seen that before?
Okay.
They're like an infomercial thing.
I would never touch that in a public bathroom.
It would be so disgusting.
I would never touch that in a public bathroom. There is no way you would ever get me. No.
How funny would that be if they exist? Well, first of all, someone would steal it the first day it was out, so I know it'd be so gross.
People would do disgusting things with it. That's the least worry I would have. I would be worried about what people had done with the putter.
Yeah, all right. I was just kidding. It was just a little jokey joke. It failed on Rob's
Okay, so going from that into, okay, so first let me just start out by praising the glorious typo Jessica made on our BDB lineup for today. Oh. Because she meant to type sausage thieves and instead typed sausage thrives.
I saw that.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Look, I changed it on my own because I was like, oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, so anyway, in a case the Palm Bay police called weird, a homeless woman has been arrested in connection with the theft of sausages from an 83-year-old Vietnam veteran's home. And not just any sausages, mind you, Hillshire Farm sausages.
Go meat. Have you seen those commercials?
Go meat.
Go meat. Yeah.
Palm Bay police arrested Terry Lynn Johnson and are still looking for another suspect who, like Johnson, was captured on surveillance video outside the veteran's home. In addition to the sausages, the thieves, or if you're like Jessica, the thrives, also stole rolls and paper towels. I mean, you need the paper towels to drain the grease off the sausages, and you need the rolls if you're going to make a sausage sandwich. Am I right?
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
But they didn't steal like any like mayo. Or,
no condiments.
Know, no condiments.
Nope. Well, you know.
I mean, yeah, whatever.
And, you know, the really sad part is I think the story said that this woman had done some odd jobs for this veteran.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure if she had said, hey, we're hungry, do you mind if we take this sausage and these rolls and maybe some of the paper towels, he would have been like, sure.
Yeah, all right.
Go for it.
Well, we think. We don't know.
Maybe
he's crotchety. I don't know.
He could be. He could be a curmudgeon and be like, no, I'm on a fixed income. You know, but, you know.
It's really sad, this story.
I think he would have preferred that as opposed to, you know, having his home broken into and feeling violated.
Exactly. And they were very quiet. I mean, they came in when he was sleeping. He didn't notice anything until he noticed the door was open when he woke up in the morning. That would freak anybody out. I'm sorry. But the fact of the matter, it's a really sad story that this person had to, you know, go down to that level. I was really hoping that this was just like some kid with the munchies. I was just really hoping it was that. I mean, because then it would have been funny. But now
no,
it's kind of like,
kinda sad.
I know it's
like,
kind of sad. It's
like, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it totally reeks of like a stoner going in.
Yeah.
Like, dude, he didn't have any Doritos. What does he have? Oh, he's got some sausage.
Oh, man, this will be good on a roll. No, we don't need condiments because we're that hungry.
We don't need any mayonnaise. I ain't got time for no mayonnaise.
Here, let's take these paper towels and clean up.
Right.
Because we're paranoid.
Well, at least they're tidy.
Yeah, I know. It was a weird story.
Again, let's clean up because we're paranoid. Again, like some stoners broke into his house to get, yeah.
And they were so quiet.
But they were so quiet. But see,
also sides of paranoia.
Well, yeah.
You know? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. We're totally making up what we wish the story was.
I know.
So anyway, moving
would have been,
on.
Look, criminals, you understand that this is how the story should go.
Yes, this is how we wanted it to
see,
go.
See, sometimes you can make this stuff up.
Yes. Next time, let it be a stoner, not a homeless person to make
right.
us really sad.
Right?
Anyway.
Make us laugh. Like the guys who drove, that were running away from the police and drove towards the main gate of Patrick Air Force Base.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
God, I love Brevard County and all the stinking car chases here. All right, so Coco. I want to talk about Coco for a minute. Because I've had beef with Coco now for a few years. Really. Well, a long time, really. Because I can't drive home US 1. I live in North Brevard. I cannot drive home on US 1 from Florida Today, which is on US 1, pretty much because of Coco. Because there is all of this construction that has been going on, and it is a nightmare.
It seems like it has been going on for an eternity.
Yes. Yes. And in full disclosure, my father owned a business on US 1 in Coco. So he fought against this a little bit. So in full disclosure, he doesn't own that business anymore. He sold it. But so I've heard his point of view on this from the business side. Is it really, really hurt those businesses in that area? They got pretty desperate. Places went out of business in general. But good news is it's finally over. The construction is done. They've widened the road. All, how many lanes is it? Six?
I believe it is now six.
Six lanes are now all open. Now they, forewarning, they are still periodically closing lanes to like do finishing touches, which I
that's
saw the other day.
That's this week.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be done by like the 25th.
Okay, that's good. I did see one close. So, I mean, it's not over, but we're, you know, right at the end of the tunnel.
They got to paint the turn arrows and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not bad at all. And if you've driven down there, which I have driven down there, it's a breeze now. I mean, it's really nice, actually. There's a million traffic lights, of course, but it's not a bad ride down US 1, and the road's nice.
It's a lot better on your car now, too.
Yes.
I can remember driving, making trips to the United Way offices in Cocoa, and just US 1 being, ugh, so bad on my car, so bad on it was just, it was bad.
Right. And you're right, it has gone on for absolutely ever.
Like 3 years, right?
Well, it was first proposed in 2003. All right, I was still in high school in 2003. Like, I was like a sophomore in high school or something like that. So this has been going on, the debate has been going on since 2003. I believe they actually started road work, according to our story, in 2013. So yeah, it's been 3 years. Which has been a really long 3 years if you're a business owner there. I mean,
did it really take them 10 years to start construction?
Yeah. Yeah. First proposed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 2003 is when it was first proposed, and then they started construction in 2013.
So I was right, 3 years.
Yeah. Wow. No, you were right. You were right. So
I know
we're done.
I know that the businesses are probably very, very happy that everything is done. I know commuters are happy. I'm sure Henry Parrish is happy because, as the mayor of Cocoa, he will no longer be getting complaints about the construction. So
yeah, I mean, this is a load off of everyone's shoulders, even those of us who don't live in Cocoa. So yay Cocoa for being done.
Yeah.
At the same time.
So last year, the Ron John Cocoa Beach Half Marathon brought 1960s television icon Barbara Eden to town. Eden was well known for her role in the classic show I Dream of Jeannie. Well, trying to cash in on that same formula, fans of the show Gilligan's Island will want to be in town on October 23rd when Dawn Wells, a.k.a. Marianne, will be featured at this year's event, sans the infamous coconut cream pies. Where did they get the cream on the island for Marianne's coconut cream pies?
Good point.
Right?
Wait, no, maybe they whipped, like, the coconut milk.
You can't whip coconut
milk. I don't know. I'm just trying to give you a solution.
Anyway, now, ironically, the actress who is most known for playing one of seven castaways stuck on an island after a three-hour boat tour got swept away in a monsoon will set sail on a Victory Casino cruise as part of her celebrity appearance. So
the irony is killing me. It's killing
I know. I irony is killing me. But you know, I grew up watching Marianne before Nick at Night was actually a thing. I grew up watching Marianne and Gilligan and the Skipper. And,
by the way, that was a dig at me, in case anyone didn't notice that, because I had to watch it on Nick at Night.
That wasn't a dig at you. I'm just saying before it was on Nick at Night.
Or it's a dig at himself because he's old.
Because I'm old. Right. So yeah, during the 80s and early 90s, Gilligan's Island would be on in the afternoons from, like, you know, 4:30 to 5 before, you know, the news and Jeopardy and everything came on. So
I loved all those old shows when I was little. They would come on at Nick at Night. I loved I Dream of Jeannie. That was my fave.
That was
and then
my
Gilligan's
wife's
Island I kind of liked,
but
not
Gilligan's
that much.
Island, I used to love Gilligan's Island.
I feel like it was more of a boy show.
Okay, but, well, yeah, because, I mean, like, the professor was the original MacGyver, and, like, they would recharge the batteries in the radio using seawater and coconuts and bobby pins, and Gilligan on a bamboo-made bicycle with, like, vines as the belt to recharge and rev up the batteries. Yeah, he was like MacGyver back in the day.
Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, she's like one of the last still living cast members, which is cool.
Well, yeah.
It's just her and Tina Louise,
right,
who was Ginger. So
right,
it's cool. We get to meet her here in Brevard, and that's awesome. And she's not running the marathon. At first, I thought she was running the marathon. I'm like, what?
She's in good shape.
She's in great shape. She's beautiful. Did you see her picture?
I did.
She looks fantastic. I hope I look that good when I'm that age. She's like
77.
Like 70. She's 77?
She's 77.
She looks good. She looks good.
She does.
All right. So before I delve into my next story, I just want to give a little reminder that early voting's going on through August 30th. So make sure you get out there and vote. I'm just throwing that out there. Just out of nowhere. I just feel like I should mention early voting.
It's like you're casting
on
a line.
Yeah, I'm casting a line. But that has nothing to do with what I'm about to talk about.
Oh.
I just want to throw it out there.
Okay.
Because I did mention it today. And I'm a procrastinator. And I did specifically put in my absentee ballot in my purse today saying, do this. So I need to do it.
Why are you voting absentee?
I always vote absentee.
Why?
I don't know. Because I did a long time. I was going to be out of town one time. And so I voted absentee. And they just keep giving me absentee ballots. And I was like, oh, well, if it's here, why not, right? Is it bad to vote absentee?
No.
Less American?
I've never voted absentee.
Oh,
I always
convenient.
Go to my polling place.
It's more fun to go out and vote. in my opinion. Like, my husband will not vote absentee, even though when he was in the military, he liked to go out and get the sticker and
yeah,
he enjoyed the whole process.
Fill in the dots and run it through the Scantron machine. It's yeah, like you're back in college. Yeah,
I know, but not me. I guess I'm busy. So at least I'm voting, right? That's what
well,
counts.
There is that.
So lots to vote for this election cycle, so make sure you get out there and do that.
Please.
Especially these local elections. I know everybody's fired up about the presidential elections, but these local elections are very important. These are the people who make decisions right for us right here. We're talking the lagoon, our roads.
Our schools,
all the things. So moving on. So I really wanted to spend just a little bit of time on what happened Friday night. You heard about what happened Friday night, right, Ron?
No, fill me in.
Okay, so there was this really cool story that happened Friday. It's really not that cool, but it became cool really quickly. And that was...
Is Fojo blowing up your phone
yes,
again?
He is... Actually, no, it's just, what's up, ninja? That's a new one. Yeah, he's working day crew today, so he's got time to text. Anyway, back to what we were doing. Yeah. Friday night, a family of four was returning from dinner at Grills, which Grills is right up here by Florida Today. It's a popular riverside restaurant near the Pineda Causeway. They were traveling by boat. It's one of those restaurants that you can just take your boat right up to. And as they were going home, the mother was sleeping in the boat with her 7-month-old in her arms. They also had a 22-month-old toddler, and the father was driving the boat. There was a crash somewhere near the Hubert Humphrey Bridge. We don't have a lot of details about how the crash happened yet. They haven't released that. However, it capsized the boat, and it overturned. And lo and behold, you know, the mother escaped with the 7-month-old. The father escaped and called 911. But the 22-month-old toddler was stuck underneath the boat. You can only imagine if you're the mother of a toddler how, like, frantic you would be. Can you even imagine that? Your little baby who probably, I don't know if she knows how to swim or not, but she was wearing a life jacket. Anyway, so they called police, and one of the officers was out on a date night with his wife, dropped everything, got in the boat with another officer, and a small team kind of circled around this group and was just diving into this pitch black water, you know how the Indian River is at night, it's pitch black, looking for this little girl, trying to get her. They could hear her crying. She was in an air pocket under the boat. And, you know, after 44 minutes, they finally got her out. They had the help of the helicopter overhead, and they took the family to the hospital, but everybody was fine. It was really, truly this miraculous story where these people, Cocoa Police, just came together and really got this job done. A good Samaritan was involved trying to help. It was an awesome story because what could have been a extremely tragic story turned into this great, miraculous thing. I bet this family is forever impacted by that.
We actually had a similar story that did not have a happy ending that happened off the Ogalle Causeway within the past 2 years where a boat capsized and a young child was stuck into the boat and drowned. So I am grateful for this family and for this little girl and for those police officers who put their lives on the line every day to, you know, try and keep us safe.
Absolutely. And you know, what a great story of police really, you know, going above and beyond.
Right. So finally today, if you have been listening to the Murder on the Space Coast podcast, there is one thing for certain. John A. Torres could not have picked a murder case to look at with a less sympathetic victim. You know by now that the victim in this 1983 homicide, Helen Nardi, was 1, pimping her kids out for sex in exchange for rent, 2, was having sex with her son-in-law, who was almost 10 years her senior. Yes, son-in-law was 10 years older than her.
This story is sick, people. It's
and
just
3...
sick.
She really wasn't necessarily the most hygienic person in the world. But you also know that there are definitely questions surrounding the case and the limited evidence prosecutors had in making their case to the judge and jury. If you haven't listened to episode 3 yet, hold on to your hats. It gets a little crazy, and trust me when I tell you, episode 4 is the one that truly blew my mind. The first 3 episodes are currently available in the iTunes and Google Play stores and on the Stitcher Radio or SoundCloud apps. Episode 4 will be released on Sunday evening. Additionally, if you're a fan, Florida Today is planning an event where you can meet John, me, and the rest of the Murder on the Space Coast crew, and at least a few of the people you hear in the podcast. The event will be September 14th, and you can hear a special message from executive editor Bob Gabordi in the podcast regarding the event as well. For more details and tickets, visit on.tod.com/MOSC.
You're not going to want to miss that meet and greet. John Torres, first of all, is really cool. I sit next to him at work, and we have talked about his story. And he's like, you just wait. Every time I talk about it, he's like, you just wait. And I've seen his little, he's got like an office in Florida today where he has, I mean, everything out where he's like pinpointing things. This guy, man, he is such a good journalist. And this story is just wild. I mean, it's just as crazy as any of those, you know, serial stories that we've all been addicted to on, you know, from This American Life. I mean, it's very similar to that, and it's very good, and it's very gross. I mean, I can't listen to it with CeCe in the car because it's just, it's too much. It's, like, very gory. So, I mean.
Well, it's not.
Well,
it, episode one was a little rough. Like, it made me a little nauseous.
One. Yeah, it was pretty.
Thinking about, I mean, because John paints a really, really vivid picture of what this woman's life was like. And I mean, as I told my friend Dana Niemeyer, who sent me a text and said, I'm hooked and gross, I said, my new hashtag is hashtag dead skin. It's a really, really good story. And I, as John and I have been working on this, I keep going back and forth, okay, did he do it? Did he not do it? Did he do it? Did he not do it? And just uncertainty. And episode 4.
Did you make up your mind on episode 4?
Episode 4 makes up my mind on one thing for certain. I do not think this guy got a fair trial at all. You will understand that so well in episode 4 because that's when the trial actually begins and when the discussion begins. And when we were going over the case and kind of the story with a group of attorneys that came into the Florida Today office, and we recounted the procedures that happened in his trial, their chins all dropped. Like, oh my, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened to me, only I didn't say kidding. I used another adjective before kidding and threw my headphones on the desk because I was just that blown away that something like this could happen in this country, let alone in this county. It is a really, really compelling story, and I hope that you are all listening to it.
Yes, absolutely. And, well, episode 3, did that?
Episode 3 just came out yesterday.
Just came out, yeah.
Episode 4 will be out on Sunday.
I haven't listened. Honestly, I saw it pop up on my podcast feed. I haven't listened to it yet because I had to listen to my church podcast first. I couldn't justify listening to Murder on Space Ghost before church. So it's on the roster for this
sometimes
afternoon.
Sometimes you need Jesus. So.
Sometimes you, especially after this podcast, and we all need Jesus. So good stuff. All right, well, that does it for today,
that's
right?
That's going to do it for this week. Remember, all of the stories you just heard Jessica and I talking about can be found in Jessica's daily BDB column on floridatoday.com and on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. So that's it. Have a great week, everyone, and we will catch you back here
next Monday?
Maybe next Monday.
Yeah, we're thinking next Monday, so yeah. Probably next Monday.
Don't be surprised if you see something on Thursday, but
we're still coming out every week, so you know we're coming
out every week. So
we'll be here.
Be prepared for Monday, but don't be surprised if you see Thursday.
I'm really liking Monday. I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling Monday.
We're in such a much better mood on Monday, which is ironic, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're well rested. We're not exhausted from the week. You know, you haven't had 1,000 days of
life.
So anyway, have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.